We're doing the Sefer Hamidot. We're up to page Reish Nun Dalid, the 10th chapter of Shar Avodat Elokim. Ve'af gam zot teida. I want you to know this as well. Ki kvar amru rabotenu zichonam livracha. The Gemara already tells us, il malei nitena reshut la'ayin lir'ot. If the eye were only given the capacity to see the spirits that surround us on a daily basis, en kol birya yechola la'amod mipnei hamazikim. No one would be able to stand. We'd all go crazy. Imagine you saw all the germs floating all around you. Go crazy. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Go crazy. Mazikim, whatever mazikim are, whatever harmful things there are in the air all around us. The Amru, the Gemara over there says, Inu nefishe minan. They outnumber us. The kaimu alan, and they surround us, kichisa leugya. Just like they dig around the grapevine, places for the water to settle around the grapevine. They'd have these holes, these round holes around, round pits surrounding the grapevine so the water would pile up there. So too, we are each surrounded by myriads of harmful, potentially harmful things, the mazikin, whatever those are. Da, I want you to know, ken shama ba'olam hazeh hi snua meod, that the soul in this world has to contend with a lot of animosity. Kemishpat ma'amar kamayim apanim lapanim. And really this falls in line with the verse in Proverbs that just as you see your own reflection in the water, so do you see your own reflection in a friend. The way you view him is the way he views you. The way you treat him is the way he treats you. Your feelings towards him is going to be his feelings towards you. So by the same token, when we speak about the soul vis-a-vis the world, well, the soul views the world with anger. This mundane world, oh, what a toil. The soul is fed up with the world. And the soul repeatedly goes back to its memory of the beautiful time it had when it was younger, when it was back by its father, when it was in heaven. So the soul lives in this world with perpetual frustration with the world. So just as the soul has disdain for the world, by the same token, the world has disdain for the soul. So by the same token, the world has disdain for the soul. And the soul is like a lamb among hungry wolves as the night settles in. So they hate the soul out of jealousy. And they're always looking, how can we subdue the soul? Wow, it sounds like the state of Israel in the world. Yeah. But the Creator, blessed be He, placed the soul within the human so that it wouldn't just get killed by any passerby. Because really, everyone in the world, meaning all the mundane, all the physical parts of the world, are antagonistic to the soul. Udvaraot ki shem Hashem nikra alav, shmachizin lav basoto mitzvah min ha-mitzvot, hizaru baze ki avdihu. And I'll prove it to you that Hashem's name is declared upon our soul, because whenever we do mitzvah, there's a heavenly declaration that says, watch out, that's my servant down there. K'ma'amal, the pasuk says, v'ra'u, the nations will see, ki shem Hashem nikra alecha, that Hashem's name is declared upon you, v'yaru mimeka, they will learn to be God-fearing people from you. But if a person removes that sign, a person gets interviewed as did Mr. Lieberman, and is asked by Larry King Live, who do you most admire in the world? And he does the greatest chil Hashem when he says the name of someone that he shouldn't even mention. He says Moshe Rabbeinu and someone else. So you look at that and you say, really? So you're the Jew. You're supposed to be representing Am Yisrael. And you could say that? So when a person removes...
Is it a real example?
True story, unfortunately.
He said Moshe, he did say Moshe Rabbeinu.
I think he said Moshe Rabbeinu, and... That's a good question, but... he'll tell you.
I think I know.
But if you... remove the sign. But if you remove the sign from upon you, a person takes off the jewel and it does not serve his master, then they catch up. Those that want to swallow one alive. I'm sorry, those that want to swallow one for free. So we're given something godly. We're given a soul. And that soul recalls its godly history and is always aspiring for that, and it views the world with scorn, and the world views it with scorn, and the world is constantly trying to bring it down. And so long as a person maintains his connection to Hashem, he's doing mitzvot, so then the soul prevails. The second a person says, I'm leaving that, so then the world is there to pull him down. בשמחה זאת על לבך, when you take this to heart, תכריח גם כן את עצמך לעבוד את השם לחסות בצילו, לשבת בסתר עליון. That should also drive a person to serve Hashem, to be close to Hashem, ויתקיים בך מאמר, and then to fulfill the verse, ברצות Hashem דרכי איש, the verse says, when Hashem approves of a person's path, גם אויביו ישלים איתו. His enemies too make peace with him. That's a pasuk in Mishlei. If a person lives his life in a way that Hashem approves, he won't only have friends who are God-fearing people, even his enemies will make peace with him. Uchemama Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, as Rabbi Chanina bar Papa taught in the Medrash, Im ba'yitzecha la'ashchitcha da'cheu b'divrei Torah. If a person feels his desire coming to overtake him, so says Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, how do you push him off? What's the greatest antidote? Torah. Shneimaos, the verse says, Yetzel samuch titzor shalom. If you can do that, so then I consider it as though you created peace. Shalom inktiv kan, ela shalom shalom. The pasuk doubly stresses the peace. It's as though one is of, he created it. You'll say, I can't take control. You have any idea how many times did I hear this line? Rabbi, you don't know what a Yetzer Hara is. You guys haven't yet heard the line. So sometimes a person says, oh, you don't even know what the Yetzer Hara is, right? So if someone says, I don't have control, Talmud Lomar, that's why the pasuk says, Ki vecha batuach. Hashem says, I have faith in you, you can do it. Don't tell me you can't do it. Ratzal Lomar, Im yesh birtzoncha lishkon betach ben machid davar. What the Medrash is saying is, if you want to live in peace, without fear, mikol sugei pgeim ha-mitrakshim gam ha-krovim gam ha-rchokim, if you want to live in peace, you won't have to worry what's happening around you. Yetzcha yetzer samuch titzor. Shmot yetzer atzmecha samuch lecha. Our desire is very close to us. It's like our best friend. You know, it's like your shadow. You know the story of the Netziv? The Mashgiach came and asked the Netziv, who's your chavrusa? So he said, the Yetzer Hara. So the Mashgiach asked him, why do you learn with him? So he said, two reasons. One, because he's much smarter than I am. And two, because whenever I want to learn, he's there. So the Yetzer Hara is always there. He's never resting. So that's what the Medrash says. That the Yetzer is what's called Samuch. It's right near us. And as we discussed in the beginning of the book, the Yetzer very often comes to us. You don't know if it's the Yetzer Tov or the Yetzer Ra. He comes and says, I want to help you. Don't you want to enjoy life? Go take a break. Grab a beer, get a cigar, take the night off. You know you could use the break. The Yetzer comes and he says, I'm on your side. All I want is what's good for you. Go take a break. Come on, you deserve it. You guys look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. I guess you're all tzaddikim. Your Yetzer Hara has to work harder than that. But at any rate, the Yetzer Hara is described as the Samuch. What's near us. He's not a stranger. He's the Baal HaBayis. He knows what's going on. The Netziv. Netziv, Rav Kook's Rebbe. So, the advice that's given is, watch over that Yetzer that's so near you. Uviyadcha ula toto l'chol tzad shetivchar. And it's within our capacity to guide that Yetzer. And this is a concept, in one sentence, he's encompassing a concept of Rav Moshe Cordoviro, which Rav Kook Zatzal also took in his Sefer Einaya. We view the Yetzer as something which is I can be good and spiritual, I could be evil and physical. No. Rav Moshe Cordoviro explains in the Tomer Dvora, the Yetzer Hara is the desire, is the inclination to go in the direction of the physical. It is a necessary part of life. Imagine waking up in the morning and not being hungry. Imagine having zero desire to make a living or get married. So now you'd say, let's all be spiritual. Yeah, we'll be spiritual, but the world will be stagnant. The Yetzer Hara is that desire for the physical, but if taken to the excess, that's when it becomes bad. If guided correctly, that's the proper living. So the Magen Midubne here says, it's in your hand to guide it. We're not looking to kill the Yetzer. We're looking to guide it. The Gemara says there were Amoraim who said they were so old, they no longer had any desire for the opposite gender. And they wept about it. So you'd say, what are you weeping for? Isn't that great? Isn't that where you aspire to be? No. No, part of productive living is that a person is supposed to have desire. He's supposed to guide that desire, channel it, but be normal. It's in your capacity, it's in your realm to guide it. As shalom, shalom, mikol ever, mikol pina. That's when a person attains peace.
But any yetzer you have, either attraction to opposite sex or if you're not able to guide it, in the sense of if you're not married, then the best thing to do is shut it down. But you have to conquer it. Or it's things that you don't have a channel in which to guide them. There must be other examples as well.
You can channel different stuff.
But you need to conquer that yetzer until you're in a position to do something good with it.
I'd rather we go into that in the question and answer, because really we have to define our terms a little bit. What does it mean to conquer it? What does it mean to shut it down? As I'm saying, each of these have to be defined. A person does have to remain healthy. There's a balance here. Meaning if a person destroys himself out of aspirations for piety, that will most often be inappropriate, incorrect, and will not lead to balanced, healthy growth. The question is, so then how does one take control? Meaning, that's the question. But if a person will hypnotize himself or find a way to uproot all desire for the opposite gender, the question is, won't he extinguish a part of him that he'll never be able to reignite, and cause himself irrevocable harm? So there were huge tzaddikim who did it. There were, but for the average person, there are other routes to take that would probably be more healthy and more correct.
But wouldn't it be better to extinguish rather than to commit avarot that are listed as among the worst?
So that we'll discuss with Hashem later. Yeah. אז שלום שלום מכל עבר ומכל פינה, כבך בטוח, רוצה לומר, השמירה תלויה אכפך ושמירתך את עצמך. One's own security is contingent on how much he watches himself. And that's up to a person. Where does he leave himself? Is he taking control or is he letting things slide? And here we come back to the same question we repeatedly have with the Magid Midovna. How much is he talking in simplistic terms? How much is he talking in deeper, more complex philosophical terms? And if he's not going to reveal it, I'm scared of saying, because then it's my interpretation. So I believe it could go both ways. And we'll pick up here later, Bezachim, because he's really in the middle of a thought. But we'll pick up here, Bezachim.